Welcome to the Doug Peterson Show.
Brought to you by Fresh from Florida.
JP Shadrick and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Doug Peterson Show starts right now.
And the Doug Peterson Show presented by Fresh from Florida from the Hyundai Studios at the Miller Electric Center. It's week 11. The Titans-Jaguars game is delivered by CSX. How tomorrow moves. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and head coach Doug Peterson. I think you're just ready to move forward to this Titans-Jaguars game after last week. Big stretch ahead, but just to move past what happened last week and finally move forward as a team. How have you seen the response this week? Because in the past, the last two kind of blowout losses last year, this year, there's been really good response from your team.
Yeah, you're right. I am ready to move on. I think the team's ready to move on, move past last weekend. It was just kind of a mess overall. The team has responded extremely well, you know, and they're disappointed, and they should be, and they're embarrassed, and they should be. And, you know, I made my disappointment felt with the team, you know, earlier in the week. And you know, and I think it's good, but I think it's good, too, to move on and focus on this week. We got a big AFC South opponent. Tennessee's coming into town and, you know, a good football team, even though their record doesn't show that. We always know this is going to be a battle. It's going to be a 60-minute game. So good week so far, and we just got to keep that rolling.
Oh, you've been in the player's chair before, and that anger kind of carries you through the week because you can't get the bad taste out until you play a game.
Exactly right, and you keep hearing, you know, just how maybe not good you are and how poor you played, and, you know, I can't do this and we can't do that, and so for 6 days or so, that's what we're listening to, right? And so it's different than playing basketball or baseball where you can turn around and play a game the next night, right? So, yeah, we got to live with it, and we've got to own it. We've got to, you know, take advantage of this opportunity this week and just learn from the mistakes and keep pushing forward.
Yeah, I don't remember you ever having a list of mistakes on the podium during your press conference. That's what you did on Wednesday. You brought, you know what? Let me turn it over and I'll read them out to you. And that's what it is. Self-inflicted mistakes from this Jags team. If you eliminated just half of them, you're in a lot of these games.
We are. And that's probably the biggest thing to me is the giveaways, I would say, offensively, the turnovers that we're just coughing the football up. And it's uncharacteristic. We're putting the ball in harm's way. We've got to do a much better job and obviously protecting it. Trevor in the pocket and receivers, you know, down the field. I mean, you know, we've had, I think, 2 weeks in a row we fumbled inside the 10-yard line. So we're just shooting ourselves. We're taking points, valuable points, you know, off the board that keeps you in these games. They're going to be close anyway. But then you get behind the eight ball and it gets to be too hard for you.
Is there something that you can do as a coach to really bring that emphasis out? Because I know defensively, you know, with Bob Sutton and Mike Caldwell, I mean, they constantly talk about it. They're texting their defense as a whole just to, hey, look, let's, you know, ball awareness, taking it away. Can you do the same type of thing with the offense?
I think you can, but I think you got to be careful. Too much is probably too much. And really now you become enamored with maybe not doing your job and you're focused more on there's some hesitation, right, in things. I've never really been the one. No, listen, we talk about it hard with our offense. You know, every week it's a point of emphasis that Press Taylor, you know, puts in front of our offense, right? Ball security and we talk about the 5 points of pressure. We show clips from around the league. We show our own players, right? We show even some college games. You know, you see the Washington play where the defensive D lineman drops it at the 1 yard line, things of that nature. And, you know, so we show our guys and we're always putting our players in this position. We're asking our look teams to punch the ball out. We're asking our defense to punch the ball in practice. So we're making a conscious effort, obviously, but our guys just need to understand how precious the football is. And in order for us to be successful offensively, we got to make sure we take care of the ball.
I'm a big believer in that running the football and good offensive line play helps that out, doesn't it? Because it builds confidence and it takes pressure off of a lot of areas.
It does. It really does. And you know, and that's the momentum, I think, as an offense, right, that you can generate is through your offensive line and through that run game. It opens up so many more things. But, you know, we didn't do it well enough, you know, last weekend, and we gotta get that back on track.
Head coach Doug Peterson with us and against the Titans defense. Let's start with this Tennessee Titans group, and it begins up front. And it usually does with that Titans defense. They kind of set the tone up there. What kind of matchup can you expect this week?
Yeah, we know who, you know, Jeffrey Simmons is. He's a tremendous player, you know, and can give us fits, and he has. You know, even Arden Key, who we had last year, is there playing on the edge, and, you know, Denico Autry's there, and Landry. And I mean, this is a really good defense. It's a little bit veteran group, but it's a really good aggressive group. And you know, they're big and physical at the tackle spots, which, you know, our guards and centers are going to have to be on point. And then the back end is a good group, I would say. You know, they've done some. They're not creating the takeaways I think that they would like to see, but at the same time, teams have been able to, you know, kind of get after them just a little bit in the back end. But, you know, overall, this is a solid team, a solid defense. Their record may not indicate that. They've been in every game, and we always know that, you know, when you play Tennessee, you're gonna get their best, and we need to have our best on Sunday.
And looking, watching the film on them, a solid group, but they don't get a lot of takeaways, like you talked about, dead last in the league. But the one number that stands out from a statistics standpoint, their points allowed, they're 10th in the National Football League. Is that partly due to the fact that their offense hasn't been scoring a lot of points, so teams are maybe a little less aggressive with them?
You do see that a little bit on film, but I'll tell you this, when teams get in the red zone, Tennessee, you know, buckles down and keeps them out. And you know, they've done a nice job down there, and so, you know, that's got to be and it's always a point of emphasis for us too, is when you get in the red zone, you got to score touchdowns and not just kick field goals all the time, but making sure that we take care of the football and not turn it over like we have inside the 10-yard line a couple times.
You bring up those numbers. I mean, the Titans second in the National Football League in red zone. Your offense 29th. That's a good matchup you bring up.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to definitely improve, and we've got to get better. And I think the number one thing is just execution, right? Keep it simple. You know, running the ball in the red zone obviously helps that. And those are the things we've just got to get back to as a team and really commit to that. And that's kind of our identity. And then after that, you know, it opens up your pass game out, you know, as you go.
Head coach Doug Peterson with us. The Titans-Jaguars matchup is always a Derrick Henry game, so no different this time around. He's still putting up some numbers, and he's getting a little older in his career, but is he the same Derrick Henry as he was a few years ago?
I think he's still the same. You know, I you're right. He's not maybe putting up the same numbers. I know they've had some injuries up front with their offensive line, so it's kind of maybe hurt him just a little bit there, but this is a big, powerful, downhill running back that when he gets rolling and they're clicking, it's hard. Go back to that first game last year, you know, in Tennessee. They got him going early and jumped out to that 14-7 lead last year in that first game. And, you know, you're just kind of sitting there going, wow, we got to hold on because they get him rolling now. It's tough to stop. And especially with a young quarterback, that's what they want to lean on is that run game. And so our defense definitely has a challenge with Derrick Henry.
And they're rolling him in and out with a rookie running back. But the focus of a lot of attention has been on the rookie quarterback, Will Levis, and a pretty good wide receiver that he's thrown the ball to in DeAndre Hopkins.
Exactly right. This, you know, you just watch and you put the film on and you see why he can have success with D-Hop down the field. I mean, he's always been able to get open. He always has been able to make, you know, great plays down the field, and obviously that's a weapon for, you know, for Will Levis and you know, the things that they want to do. And, you know, you're seeing some of the play action stuff, even some of the movement stuff, and you know, scheming him open. And you go back to that first game that Will started or came in and played, you know, he's putting the ball in a position for these guys to make plays, and he's athletic and can throw the ball well too. So you know, it could be a good 1-2 combination, much like in Pittsburgh with those two guys. And you know, we just got to make sure we know where D-Hop is at.
Of course, next week, Coach, Thanksgiving, we won't have a show next Thursday, unless you just want to do one. We can do one. No, I don't think so. So next week, yeah, you put yourself in contention, though, around Thanksgiving to make a run after Thanksgiving. This team's in first place, number 3 seed right now in the AFC. That's the big picture look at it. But you still got to go week to week, but you're in a good spot as an organization, as a team right now, it feels like, right?
We are, and we control it, and we control our own destiny. But at the same time, we have to understand that, you know, the teams that are chasing us, that was us last year. And you know, go back. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, Tennessee was leading our division. We were 3-6, right, or 3-7, and then made the run at the end. So, you know, we can't rest on where we are. We got to continue to push, but we got to continue to improve and be playing our best football, you know, once you get, well, obviously now, you know, but through Thanksgiving and on to the rest of the year. That's a big, I think, a big part of us consistently winning year in and year out.
And I know that you guys want to play well at home. And, you know, look, when you start talking about goals as a football team, the first one typically is right at the top of the list, win your games at home. Here's another opportunity.
Another opportunity, but, you know, we're 1-3 at home, and it hasn't been so well. And, you know, I scratched my head trying to figure out why. I mean, I felt like the guys were really in a good place, you know, Sunday, and pregame was electric, and the guys were flying around. And maybe they were flying around too much, you know, and just couldn't settle down and breathe and control their emotions a little bit. And those are things that, you know, with young players, sometimes you got to – kind of back them off that ledge, I guess, so to speak. Teams that have obviously playoff success and want to have home playoff games, you got to take care of business at home. And you're in front of your fans, great crowd, electric crowd. Expect a good crowd again on Sunday at 1:00. And we just got to go perform.
Salute to Service Games. Should be a fantastic matchup. The Titans and the Jaguars. Coach, good luck to you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Head coach Doug Peterson with us. In about 20 minutes, linebacker Foye Oluokun joins us. It's the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
And the Doug Peterson Show, presented by Fresh from Florida. Proud to partner with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Eat like a Jag when you choose Fresh from Florida. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, our thanks to head coach Doug Peterson for joining us on the program each and every week. And, you know, it's an interesting
comment that he had there.
Which one?
I asked him about, you know, because as a defensive player, you always preach takeaways, and there's an awareness, and you talked about it constantly.
All the time.
And so you would think that as an offense, you would kind of do the same thing, but I thought it was interesting how he said that, you know, there's a balance that you have to reach as an offense when you talk about that, because you don't want to make guys not be instinctive, I guess, would be the way to describe it. And you don't want them overthinking about, oh, my God, protect the ball, protect the ball.
Yeah,
protect
two
the
hands ball, protect on it, and all of a sudden you can't run anymore.
Yeah,
right?
You're like running down the field like, you know, not naturally. No. But I thought that was interesting from that standpoint. But, I mean, clearly you can tell that he's bothered by that game.
I'd say so. And he put on as good of a
happy face,
yes,
as he could
in this environment for that. But I would guess, and we know his personality is to always kind of be positive and normal, same old Doug. But you know, the gears in his head had to be turning this week.
Yeah, you can tell that he's got a little edge to him after that game.
And I'm gonna guess that the team probably heard some of that. Is my guess?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And you got to wake him up.
And when you have a head coach like him, and then you've got strong leadership, you're hearing it from other avenues, you know. So there are a lot of teams, you know, that you don't have to say anything. And sometimes when you can say too much, I think, in that situation, because then you kind of get beaten down a little bit. And but sometimes the disappointment and pointing out the errors need to be reinforced, even though most of the players know, just so that they work hard to find the solutions.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of football left. The just the way they came out in the start of the game, it was just,
and that's so
strange, right?
So odd, because, you know, I love big game atmospheres, and
who doesn't?
I mean, it's amazing, because you can literally you feel it. And in this game, I was up in the booth, and I went down to the field like I always do before the game, talk to some of the players, you talk to some of the coaches, and then we go back up into the booth, we do another hit, and then I went back down again. And typically I don't go back down again when the team is doing the team warm-ups. I'll be out there when the individuals are doing their stuff kind of before the formal warm-up. But I went down there – for the formal warm-up, just because when I was down there for the kind of pre-warm-up, you could feel it. And it was electric. You could feel the environment. You could feel that it was a big game atmosphere because, look, there were fans from both sides of the aisle. Of course, the 49ers fans were out there early. So when I was down there the first time, there were, you know, quite a bit of them in the field. And then later the Jaguar fans were piling in. And the players come out, and you can just feel the intensity, the big game moment. You know, some of the big media, the national media were there. And I had to go down there just to experience it, and it's an amazing feeling. So I thought, oh, here we go. This is going to be a big game. I don't know who's going to win. It's going to come down to the end. And then what happened was totally unexpected, totally unexpected. And so a lot of people say, you know, you can kind of feel they weren't ready or anything. No, I'm here to tell you, I was down there on the field before that game, and I thought this team was ready to go. I thought they had an intensity and a focus and excitement. And sometimes it's just how it is. Sometimes you can't get a pulse from a team by watching them in the pregame warm-up.
Then the game kicks off, and it's a football game, and things happen.
That's right.
Or they don't happen.
Well, one thing is very clear. The 49ers are one of the best teams in the National Football League. When they play their brand of football, they're hard to stop because they've got an excellent offensive style. They've got a quarterback who is efficient. He's been protecting the ball for the most part. And they've got some players at all three levels on defense, and they got a bunch of players up in that front level.
We'll come back in a moment and get into the Jaguars offense and steps that could or should be taken to move it forward. And by forward, I mean down the field. We'll get your take on that when we come back. Jags fans want customized Jaguars furniture for your home. Check out ZipChair.com and browse all customizable options. ZipChair furniture for fans. It's the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Doug Peterson Show, presented by Fresh from Florida. Food tastes better when it's grown closer to home. JP Shadrick with Jeff Lagerman. The Titans-Jaguars matchup is delivered by CSX. CSX, how tomorrow moves. Division matchup, AFC South. The Titans 3-6. The Jaguars 6-3. And a bounce back for the Jaguars offense would be very nice to see. And they've done it before under Doug Peterson. Since Doug became the head coach in 2022, the Jaguars, following a 10-plus point loss, are 3-0, and they've averaged 29 points per game in those three games. That includes the win at Tennessee last year, that they lost big in Detroit the year before, or the game before that. And Trevor Lawrence is the big reason why in those games, Logs. The quarterback play is huge. He's completing 75% of his passes the next week, nearly 300 yards per game the next week, and 7 touchdowns, no picks.
That's the big reason why, the performance of the quarterback. And that's one of the reasons why they didn't play very well the other day. And he's got to have a bounce-back game, and I expect him to. You know, and the reason I kind of sit there and go, okay, look, this is not a gimme game, even though the Tennessee Titans are not what they used to be when – they were winning back-to-back division titles, I think, in 20 and 21. You look at the wins that they've gotten this year, okay? They beat Cincinnati. Now, that was early, okay, and that's when Joe Burrow still hadn't quite found his rhythm yet. But they beat the Cincinnati Bengals. They beat the Chargers. They beat the Atlanta Falcons and scored, I think, like 28 points against the Atlanta Falcons. So there's a reason why they say in the NFL, any given Sunday. And you better be ready to play this week against a division opponent that last year, in the last season of the game, they took you right to the very end. And I think it's going to be an exciting football game. And hopefully the Jaguars are able to make a rookie quarterback look as such, because they didn't earlier in the year.
And we'll get to the defensive part of this coming up in just a little bit, Logs. Big topic this week is How does the offense push it down the field a little bit
it's
more?
It's a great question.
How do they do that? You know, Zay Jones has been in the injury report. Seems to be trending the right way. Could he be back? Is he 100% if he's back? Does that help Ridley, Kirk, Ingram, the whole deal? It's not just that, though.
It's not just that, but that will help.
Yeah.
Out of all the Jaguars receivers, okay, Ridley, Kirk, okay, Zay. I mean, Zay's kind of the guy that has got that vertical, we're going to stretch the field aspect to it. But here's the other thing. There were some plays that were there in the vertical passing game this past game. I mean, you think about the throw you had, I don't know if you remember this, it was a deep over by Christian Kirk, and they were going towards the south end zone, and Trevor throws it and really throws it to where there were about three 49er defenders. It fell incomplete. On the right side, on a deep end, Calvin Ridley's wide open. So there's a vertical opportunity lost. But then also I think some of the play calling's got it. You got to stretch the field. The 49ers were jumping the short stuff in a big way.
Pretty much said as much going into the game too.
And another reason why was because Trevor's clock was going fast. He was trying to get rid of the ball quick and sometimes not going through his progressions. And then also at times the offensive line didn't hold up and Trevor didn't have time. So it's a combination of things. Personnel, getting Zay back, okay, play calling, having more of it, okay, protection up front, and then also slowing the mind down at the quarterback position and making the proper reads and adjustments.
Is this a Titans defense that this group can take advantage of?
Well, I think so, but one of the keys to this ball game is the performance of the interior three offensive linemen.
Okay.
Walker Little, okay, has got to play better than he did this past game. Okay. Sheriff's got to play a good game. And Fortner's got to play a better game than he did this past game. Tier Tart and Jeffrey Simmons are really good football players. I just showed you a play in a commercial break just a minute ago.
You did.
To where they sacked Baker Mayfield. And they absolutely dominated the inside of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive line with a little TT game where one guy goes first, the other guy loops around. And it was absolute mayhem, and Baker ended up getting hammered, like driven into the turf.
Bedlam in the interior.
So that's the dominant part of the Titans' defense, and Jeffrey Simmons is one of the best. Big, strong, powerful guy that's good against the run and as a pass rusher. And then Harold Landry is a speed guy. Arden Key, we know him. He's a good, capable player. Danico Autry, is a power-rushing defensive end. He will give Anton Harrison all he can handle. So the offensive line has got to be better this week.
Let's come back in a moment. We'll get to that Jaguars defense and how they can affect the rookie quarterback. Will Levis. Oh, yeah, and the running game. Derrick Henry's still on this Titans team as well. That's next on the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
And welcome back. It's the Doug Peterson Show presented by Fresh from Florida. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman from the Miller Electric Center in the Hyundai Studios ahead of the Titans-Jaguars matchup. And when you play the Tennessee Titans, it is Derrick Henry's show on offense. 13 career games against the Jaguars, 1,373 rushing yards, and 15 rushing touchdowns. It's the most rushing yards and rushing touchdowns by any player against the Jaguars all time. Priority number 1, 2, and 3, this guy, wearing number 22.
Yeah, he's an amazing specimen. When you look at it and think about it, that this guy ran for over 12,000 yards in high school. How many yards did he run for at Alabama?
A whole bunch. He won a Heisman.
Won a Heisman. Yeah. See if you can just how many yards anyway. Just out of curiosity. Because, I mean, you're talking about –
they split some time there.
You talk about mileage on the tires.
Yeah, he's been used a lot.
He's got some mileage on the tires to have over 12,000 rushing yards in high school. Okay, in his pro career – he is at 8,960.
He had, in three seasons at Bama, 3,500 yards. Okay. Almost 3,600 yards.
So looking at ballpark, so 89, 60, 12,000, that's over 20,000, 25, 26,000 yards this guy has rushed for in high school, college, and in the pros. And the way that he can handle and carry the load is impressive. Now, I said this a little bit earlier, and I'm gonna reemphasize it again. They're in a little bit of an identity crisis on offense. They're not sure what they want to be, because in the past it's been two or three tight ends on the field, Derrick Henry, and then play action off of Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm. And kill you with tight ends.
Okay, a little different now. They do a little bit of that, and they got a couple good tight ends, not the tight end group that they've had in the past. Okay, and what they do is then they bring in Tajay Spears, a rookie out of Tulane, and then it's a little different change of pace. And they've been giving him some carries and taking a little bit of the load off of Derrick Henry. So it's different. But the reality is Derrick Henry is still the second leading rusher in the National Football League. If he had gotten or has been used as the typical Derrick Henry of the past, he would be the leading rusher hands down. And some people think he's slowing down. I've watched two games of Derrick Henry so far. I don't see it. And here's the other thing. When you got a marquee back and you've got a guy like Derrick Henry, the more carries he gets, the better he gets, in my opinion. And he's got one of the best stiff arms. Let's not forget that.
Oh, it's hard to forget that.
And we haven't mentioned that yet. One of the best, if not the best, stiff arms maybe in NFL history.
Yeah. That's not.
Can you think of anybody else that's had a better one?
Yeah, no.
I mean,
it's perfect. I mean, it's a perfect move.
Throwing guys aside.
If he can set it up and do it right, it's a perfect move. You can't stop it.
Gosh, who did he get?
He got a bunch of guys. He got
in Nashville a few years back, and he like threw.
Well, he's had about three of those. He's had one of obviously the one on the long 99 yarder where he had about a couple of
nobody wants to make the Derrick Henry highlight reel.
No.
Nobody.
Not at all. Not at all.
That's why and I'll go back a few years. Okay. Todd Walsh, the former Jaguars defensive coordinator. They would have Derrick Henry tackling drills. And you have to have a tackling plan for him because he's big and powerful. And also because he has that stiff arm. They literally had Derrick Henry-specific tackling drills. The only running back that I have ever known, you always talk about tackling plans with guys. But to have specific drills that are designed for a guy, I don't recall ever hearing that or seeing that in my NFL career as a broadcaster and as a player.
There are YouTube videos, I just pulled one up, of every Derrick Henry stiff arm in his career.
Nice.
And they have them all clipped together if you want to go to YouTube and check them out. Let's hope we don't add to it this week.
No.
For the Jaguars-Titans matchup. Speaking of tackling plans, we'll hear from Foye Oluokun when we come back. Jaguars inside linebacker. He has a good idea how to approach it.
There's a term. It's called populate.
Ha-ha.
That's how you stop Derrick Henry.
We'll see what Foye has to say about it when we come back. Jaguars linebacker around the corner. It's the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
The Doug Peterson Show presented by Fresh from Florida. Proud to partner with the Jaguars. Eat like a Jag when you choose Fresh from Florida. The Titans and the Jaguars coming up this Sunday at Everbank Stadium, and the game is delivered by CSX. And a big hand in this game this week for Jaguars inside linebacker Foye Oluokun, and yes, the entire front seven for the Jaguars. Certainly Foye is a guy that gets everybody on the same page, though, and they've got a big task this week against Derrick Henry and the running game for the Tennessee Titans. But the first question this week for Foye: how do they get past the losing result against San Fran?
Yeah, just definitely excited to go put a better brand of football on tape. That's what we got to do if we want to get to where we want to be at the end of the season.
You know, it's too early for must wins. It's still a first-place team. It's 6-3 in the division, 3 seed right now, but it's a division game.
in mid-November, this is about as big as it gets without being a must-win, truly, right?
Right. Just in terms of division, kind of a double win if you win this game. The win on the record and in the division. So we know the implications of it, and we're going to get there knowing how important this game is.
You guys swept the Titans last year, but you know their brand of football, another physical team. So what do they bring to the matchup this time in terms of the offensive line? And you know the running game's always there with Derek, right?
Yep, tough offensive line. They work well together, very athletic, get up to the second level well. Definitely do their part in order to get in front of people, let Derek run off of them. You know what kind of brand of football we have to bring to the game, so let's prepare for it.
Derek's been here for a long time, or been in the league now for a long time, but still running at a high level. So we always ask about tackling plans for Derek Henry. Has that changed over the years, or how do you approach tackling Derek Henry?
I feel like it's the same tackling plan, get many halves to the ball. And really just put your body on the line. I know he's a big back, and it might hurt tomorrow, but, you know, if you get the guy on the ground for your team, that's what we're all about doing.
Got to get it early, though, right? Once he gets that head of steam, that can, that, when he gets outside against the little guys, that can get dangerous, right?
Seems like you know the tackling plan. Yeah.
We've seen it a time or two around here. Rookie quarterback Will Levis. What have you seen on tape for him just 3 weeks into his career?
A lot of talent, good arm talent. If you give him time, he's going to be able to find an open guy downfield, can make all the throws, so, you know. Making sure we're, you know, everybody wants to try to confuse a rookie quarterback when he gets back there, but really being in our right places and on our defense and then make plays on the ball when he throws it.
Final thought, with the 8 games to go, how does this team lock back in now and down the stretch finish this thing out and finish it the way you guys want?
Yeah, we got 8 one-game seasons, so let's focus on this game. I'll talk about the rest after this game, but let's focus on just winning this one game and like how we get back to getting on a roll by doing things one game at a time.
Appreciate the time, man. Good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
That's Foye Aluke, and we'll hold him to that. We'll ask him about that in each week leading up to what is coming up for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Back in a moment, Jeff Loggeman rejoins me. You can get the full conversation coming soon with Foye Aluke on Jaguars social media, the Crown Royal Water Break. More of the Doug Peterson Show after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
The Doug Peterson Show presented by Fresh from Florida ahead of the Titans-Jaguars matchup in Week 11 at Everbank Stadium. Salute to Service game coming up this week. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman. Our thanks to Foye Aluke in the locker room this week. Smart guy, went to Yale.
Intense.
Been at it for a while.
He's so intense.
He can be, yes.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. He's a very good player.
He's a really good football player. What's impressive of how he plays the game is the motor that he plays with and how he just never seems to run out of gas. I mean, who can play 75, 80 plays in a ball game and have the stamina that he does to where play number 75, you go to that, what was it, the New Orleans game? It was like 77 defensive plays.
Yeah.
And you watched him at the end of the ball game and play 77 was like play 7. It's amazing to me. And, I mean, it's a credit to him because you have to manage your body to be able to do that every week in and week out. And it's just like making sure that the you're training the body right, you're having the right nutrition, getting the right rest, getting the right treatment. And Foye, ever since day one of him being signed here in free agency, has exceeded expectations in my book in every way, shape, and form. Great signing.
Yeah, and he had 7 career sacks going into last week's game. It's his first career 2-sack game last week against San Francisco. He's had a pick 6 this year as well, his first career touchdown. He didn't even have one in college, he said. He had last scored a touchdown in high school. So it had been a while for him to do that. So he's checking some things off the list and currently 4th in the league in total tackles.
Yeah, he's a special player, and he is a fixture with his defense. And I think he's an integral part of this defense. When they communicate, and he's a big part of that, and this defense is on the same page with they got a little bit out of sorts this past game. This week, though, a little different in that, okay, the 49ers have more shifts in motion than any other team in the National Football League. This week, the Tennessee Titans have virtually none of that. They got a young quarterback, yeah, right?
That's right.
You got a young quarterback, so you don't want to overly complicate things. And so this week, it's not as challenging from that standpoint defensively.
That's not something you can just, like, magically put in, especially with a young quarterback, right?
No, I think that's part of the offense. Okay. It's part of the offense. And Shanahan's offense is very simple in reality. The shifts in the motions are just all window dressings and are making you adjust.
They're making you declare what you're going to cover, too,
right.
Sometimes.
And right. It helps declare for the quarterback to know what the coverage is going to be, because when you shift and move, and that's one of the reasons why the Jaguars have shifts and motions in their offense, and you'll see it more so a lot of times when they want to pass probably a little bit higher percentage, because it gives the quarterback a tell. Okay, what kind of coverage are they playing? And then when you have shifts and motions and they've got to adjust, it doesn't allow them to disguise as easily. So it's a little different. It can be a very valuable tool to have. The other thing I wanted to mention just offensively real quick to jump to the other side of the ball while we're talking about the Jaguars offense. Last week, Trevor and the offense talked about how they had a different and a variety of snap counts. You remember that?
Yes.
Okay. How did the 49ers have such good get-offs this past game? In my opinion, they've got to, and Trevor's got to do a better job with the cadence to keep a defensive line off balance, especially when you're at home. Use the cadence to draw them off sides, to keep them guessing. You got to make sure that your guys aren't jumping, because sometimes that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that's I think that's part of the natural progression with a young quarterback as he starts to move into the experience years, is that he's got to use the cadence to his advantage to keep a defensive front from really getting a beat on the snap.
I'm going to read some stats. I want you to tell me who the player is for the Jaguars. Okay?
Go ahead.
61 targets, 35 receptions, 471 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Calvin Ridley.
It is Calvin Ridley. His last touchdown was in London against Atlanta, the Falcons at Wembley. And how do you get him more involved? Is he getting open? I know he's drawn a lot of pass interference. In fact, the most in the league this year of drawn defensive pass interferences that he's been targeted, right? He's the number one player in that department in the league. However, at some point he's got to produce a little bit more. How do you do that?
Yeah. Well, I think the quarterback's got to find him more. I think the quarterback's got to play better. I think the offensive line's got to play better. The quarterback's got to trust him better. Calvin Ridley needs to do a better job getting off the line of scrimmage. I think it's a combination of things. It's not just one thing. And one of the things that's a little bit different, I'm sure, for Calvin Ridley this year, as in years past, Christian Kirk is the move guy. Though Christian is in motion a lot. Can't have two guys in motion at the same time.
It's a penalty.
Okay? So one guy can do that. In Atlanta, Calvin Ridley was that guy that was in motion a little bit, and they could kind of take advantage of some situations like that. But that's not his role in this offense. That's Christian Kirk's role. So in my opinion, number one, Trevor's got to get comfortable throwing him the ball with the separation that Calvin gets. Because Calvin doesn't get great separation, but how many times have we seen him make ridiculous catches when the coverage has been pretty tight?
Sure.
So the quarterback has to say, okay, look, I trust him. I'm going to throw it because he's going to make the catch. And he's got to be able to make a good throw in a tight window and trust his guy. And I think some of that trust is still building, but sometimes a little bit of trust includes a little bit of faith.
Is that something you can change, the move guy? Can you motion him more?
Yeah, you
and
can.
Give him more of a different look off the line?
Yeah, you can. You can mix that up a little bit, and then I'm sure that they will try to do some of that to where you flip Christian. Okay, put him on, allow Calvin Ridley to be off, and then go from there. but you just don't want to overly complicate it to where you start making mental errors just to get somebody else in motion.
As we've seen it, right? I mean, we've seen it from different receivers, different players on the offense throughout, right? He had a couple false starts earlier in the year.
Because if you start doing what we're talking about and it gets a little bit too complicated, now you have those self-inflicted wounds like you're talking about, the false starts, maybe an illegal formation, and then now all of a sudden you're playing behind the sticks. And when you have penalties as an offense, that's very close or similar to, let's say, you get sacked. Okay, because it kind of has the same impact. It sets you back as an offense. And when you don't have a rhythm as an offense, everything becomes a little bit magnified. The mistakes become more magnified. And that's where this offense is at right now.
Back in a moment, our final thoughts ahead of this Titans-Jaguars matchup coming up at the bank this Sunday. Coming up at the bank this coming May, it's Luke Combs. Two nights of the Growing Up and Getting Old Tour, May 3rd and 4th, 2024. Different special guests each night. Tickets on sale at everbankstadium.com. This is the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
And welcome back. It is the Doug Peterson Show. Final thoughts ahead of this Titans-Jaguars matchup at the bank. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, our conversation about snap count and cadence from the quarterback got me to thinking. You know, this is the comedian named George Wallace. I'd be thinking. That's his thing. I'd be thinking about what kind of penalties the Jaguars have this year.
What'd you learn?
They have the second fewest overall penalties in the league this year.
Correct.
So overall, that's a pretty good number.
Yes.
However, the Jaguars are guilty of 15 false start penalties this year. That is tied for the fourth most in the league.
Oof.
18's the number one number, 16 and then 15. They've had six of those at home. No, eight of those at home, seven of those away.
Whew.
So that tells you something. Something's going on. The pre-snap stuff, that's the self-inflicted wounds you're talking about.
Yes, it is.
Those that have disappeared.
Been too many of those, and that's got to get cleaned up. And because when an offense struggles, if you get behind the sticks, it gets to be really difficult. Really difficult. And that's part of the other thing, too. Look at the Jaguars' rushing average, okay? Rushing average on the year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to compare this to the Tennessee Titans. ETN, 3.9. Okay, Derrick Henry, 4.2. The Titans as a team, 4.3. The Jaguars as a team, 3.8. That's another thing that takes pressure off of the offense when you talk about down and distance. And right now the Jaguars aren't running the ball with great authority. You know, if you look at some of the best games that ETN has, you know, if you look, I went and looked it up. There's three games that ETN has over 4 yards per carry. Okay, at Indy, win. Buffalo, win. Okay, Buffalo was a season high, 5.2. Okay, the only other one that he had over 4.0 that they lost was the Houston game. Mm. I mean, that's so part of that magic formula is limit the self-inflicted wounds, make sure that you don't take negative plays, but then also having some rushing plays that are impactful and allowing to take pressure off of play calling in the ensuing downs.
Seems like a simple formula.
It's been tried and true for a long, long period of time.
All access tonight. Who you got?
Christian Kirk.
Wide receiver.
Guy Stevens.
Yes.
At Strings. And I think I'm going to get me a sandwich before the show.
Enjoy. They have great food there as
well. They do.
The Titans-Jaguars really game delivered by CSX. How tomorrow moves. For Jeff Lagerman, Brent Reber, Joe Fortunato, our entire crew, I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening to the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.